Okay, I think we will start. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us for this extremely timely and important conversation. My name is Gilly Getz. I'm a board member of Partners for Progressive Israel, and I will be your moderator today. Welcome to Shared Jewish Arab Cities, an Antidote to Political Segregation in Israel. Question mark. This is the latest installment of Partners Conversation with Israel and Palestine, a series of informational webinars that bring voices from Israel and Palestine to an American and international audience, providing an important link between progressives in the Middle East and those outside. This important issue of Jewish Arab and Arab Jewish political partnership is central to our work at PPI, and we believe the future of both people depends on the strength and the success of this partnership. And we will, in PPI, focus on amplifying and supporting these efforts. Let me just note that Partners for Progressive Israel is an American nonprofit organization dedicated to the achievement of a durable and just peace between the State of Israel and its neighbors, which includes the end of Israel's occupation based on a two-state solution. We support Israelis working to ensure social justice, civil rights, and equality for all of Israel's inhabitants. Our partners promote a just Israeli society by cultivating a Jewish Arab partnership and seek to deepen Americans' Jewish understanding of the complexities of both Israeli and Palestinian societies. If you'd like to enroll more of these type of programming, please visit our website at progressiveisrael.org and make a contribution. We will put the link in the chat. I want to thank our co-sponsors for this webinar, the Abraham Initiatives, one of the oldest and largest share society organizations in Israel. Abraham Initiatives has been successful in creating models for Jewish Arab partnership in the spirit of Israel's Declaration of Independence. I'll be serving as your moderator over the next 6 minutes. I encourage you at any time to type your questions. You need to use the Q&A button at the bottom of your screen. Sometimes you need to have your mouse hover to see those options. So don't use the chat, use the Q&A button. Type your question, a small box will appear. You click on it. I note that the viewers' microphones will be turned off, and the questions can only be asked through the Q&A option. Just a quick framing about the extraordinary moment we're in before I introduce you our extraordinary panelist that we are very fortunate to have with us today to help us understand better what is going on. As Israelis are about to once again go to the polls on March 23rd, it's increasingly clear that Palestinian Arab voters in Israel will play a central role in the outcome of this election. In the last few years, we've seen profound transformation in the role Arab voters play in Israeli politics and the potential for stronger Jewish Arab partnership to advance Israeli democracy. In only a few years, we saw how Arab voters, from being targeted through a deeply racist campaign by Prime Minister Netanyahu and the Israeli right, to this moment where Arab voters are coveted as a coveted electorate, where we see even Prime Minister Netanyahu himself, however cynical, actively campaigning for Arab vote. We saw a change in the Jewish center left and now embracing the possibility of including the Arab Joint List as part of a governing coalition. That was not the case only a short time ago. And the Progressive Meretz Party introducing its version of a joint Jewish Arab list. At the same time, Palestinian Arab citizens of Israel are facing structural discrimination, the impact of the racist national state law that makes Arabs second-class citizens, police violence and unwillingness of the government to confront organized crime, gun violence, and provide safety to Arab communities in Israel. In recent protests against police neglect in the town of Umm al-Fahim, police use excessive force against protesters, including the use of tear gas, rubber-coated bullets, and stun grenades, injuring the mayor of Umm al-Fahim, Knesset member Yusuf Jabrin, and 35 others. That led to a mass demonstration the following week in Umm al-Fahim. We are lucky to have two incredible experts to help us better understand this reality and the possibilities of Jewish-Arab partnership, both nationally and locally. Let me do a quick introduction, a short bios. Ruth Levine-Chen is the director of Shared Cities Project at the Abraham Initiatives, which she joined in 2018. Her skill set comes from her experience in directing conflict resolution programs and advancing the representation of women in decision-making positions in local council of Mevaseret. For the past decade, Ruth has been promoting shared society in Israel, mainly through the facilitation of dialogue groups of Arab and Jewish youth in various frameworks and by developing knowledge on social movement in Shatil, the New Israel Fund. Dr. Thabet Abu Ras joined Abraham Initiative in 2014 as a co-executive director. He had a central role in creating the future vision document concerning the status of Israeli Arab citizens, which provides a roadmap for the demands of Israel's Arab community. Before joining the Abraham Initiatives, Dr. Abu Ras served as Adala's board director and directed its Negev offices. Before that, he was co-director of New Horizon, the Arab Jewish Center for Dialogue in a Shared Society. Dr. Abu Ras also co-founded the Association of Environmental Justice in Israel. We are so lucky and grateful to have you with us today and learn from you. Take it away and don't forget to put questions you have as you have them in the Q&A. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Gili. Thank you, everybody. Thank for Partners for Israel. And hello, everybody. I know your attention nowadays paid to the national politics. The coming Knesset election is very important. This is the fourth election in Israel. But I am happy to talk in this webinar about politics of hope. Yes, politics of hope taking place in the mixed cities, in the local level, in the municipality level. Israeli local election held in October 2018, but this election marked an unprecedented development in Jewish Arab local politics, with Arab parties joining the governing coalition in all seven mixed cities. They are part of the decision making process within those cities. Well, there is a Jewish Arab political partnership in the local management in all mixed cities. This development is really very significant. But first, let me give you an overview of the Arab community, Arab citizen state of Israel. Well, today we are talking about around 1.6 million Arab citizens, okay? Our organization is working within Israel, okay? Working with citizens of the state of Israel, Jews and Arabs. So 1.6 million Arabs living in the state of Israel, which comprises around 18% of the total population. A very diverse community, just like other communities. The overwhelming majority of the Arabs are Muslims, yet we have minorities within the Arab minority. 10% are Druze and 9% are Christian Arabs. All are Muslims, Druze, Christians are their mother tongue in Israel are Arabs. One more characteristic of the Arab community is very young community with 43% under the age of 18. And also poverty within the Arab community is very high. More than half of the Arab families are really poor according to the Israeli official statistics. And we are actually, the Arab community is facing a major challenge of crime and violence today. Just one of the figures here, that 65% of Israeli total murders in 2019, actually there are Arab citizens of Israel. Now we can move ahead and talk about the geographical distribution. Arab citizens spread all over the country. The majority of the Arab citizens live in Galilee, northern part of Israel, but yet there's still some of them live in the center, in the little triangle area, in the Negev area, and then in the mixed cities that we're going to talk about. 10% of the total Arab citizens live in the mixed cities. When we talk about mixed cities, we are actually talking about 7 different mixed cities. Most of them are historically they are mixed cities: Akko and Haifa and Ma'alot Tarshiha and Nofa Galil in the north, and then Tel Aviv, Jaffa, Lod, and Ramle in the center of Israel. Those are the 7 mixed cities, but there is a process of more and more Israeli cities becoming mixed cities. There is no formal really definition of mixed cities. So let us consider that when we talk about mixed city, that we're talking about cities with majority of Jewish population, yet a sizable, I would say, of Arab minority in those cities. Now, here are the figures, just to let you know that when we talk about considerable or sizable minority in those cities, we are talking about almost, and all of them are more than 20% of the total population are Arab population, Arab residents. Yet Haifa, very historical city, mixed city, even before 1948, 12%, and Tel Aviv, Jaffa by itself, it's a really mixed city, historically in terms of architecture, but 1/3 of the total population within Jaffa are Arabs. Can move. Yes, when we talk about living in the mixed cities, still there are some challenges facing those cities. Jews and Arabs live apart in many ways, mainly the neighborhoods. We can see that different neighborhoods, still we have middle-class Arabs live in the Jewish neighborhoods, but the overwhelming majority of the Arabs in the mixed cities have their own separate neighborhoods, and we can see that Arabs live in the old neighborhoods with notable infrastructure gaps. We see that different educational system, schools, but also activities, informal activities, educational activities is really separate. Yet we can see still, it's one city, there is a lot of public space that both communities are sharing, especially malls and markets, higher education universities, like in Haifa, for example, even in Jaffa, Tel Aviv, Jaffa, and higher education where people really meet together, and definitely marketplaces are, it's a common spaces that where people really meet. Can you just move, okay? Ruth, if you can take it from here, please.
Thank you, Thabet, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm Ruth Levin-Chen, the manager of Shared Cities Initiative at the Abraham Initiatives, and I'm here with you from Mevaseret Zion, a suburb of Jerusalem. So the Shared Cities Initiative comes, was mentioned earlier, it really comes from the surprise after the last local elections, in which for the first time, Arab council members were a part of the coalition in all 7 mixed cities. And it created a tremendous opportunity that hasn't existed before to perform a successful political partnership in these cities. We realized that due to our previous work in this field of mixed cities, we could really support this effort of building Jewish-Arab partnerships. Our desire to support this effort derives from our vision to promote equality in the mixed cities themselves, to model the potential for other cities, which are quickly becoming mixed, and to show the benefits of political partnerships also for the national level. And in order to really support these partnerships, we are doing several things. We are advocating for equal services for Arab residents of the mixed cities. We're investing in municipal capacity building, focusing on the Arab-Jewish environment, both in the municipality itself, as well as in the everyday life of the city. We are supporting a Knesset Shared Cities Caucus, conducting an annual conference and research about the mixed cities. And we are also learning from other mixed cities globally, not just in Israel. In addition to our work, which focuses on the relations of Jewish and Arabs in the mixed cities, we also operate other programs that we at the Abraham Initiatives developed and had real success with, and we actually imported them to the mixed cities. So you can see, regarding the education issue, there are many assumptions on how people feel about living together, and conventional wisdom was in Israel that people prefer a segregated school system, like it actually currently is. So we decided to check this assumption and find out what are really the attitudes. And we found that people are not looking for separate but equal. But as a matter of fact, most Jews and Arabs in mixed cities want core subjects to be taught jointly between neighboring Arab and Jewish schools, as you can see. So our shared learning program that we developed and we are operating on a national level in partnership with the Ministry of Education is a fundamental step building a bridge between the two communities, the Jewish and Arab community, through the shared learning of the English language. This is why we imported this program to the mixed cities as well. And hopefully, once we demonstrate the impact of the program, the ministry will adopt the model and scale it across the Israeli school system, and by that, actually desegregating it. As Thabit mentioned, and also Gili did, the issue of violence is the number one priority of Arab citizens of Israel today, with an over representation of Arab citizens in murders and in other criminal incidents. Arab residents of the mixed cities suffer from another over representation within the Arab society, with 24% of murder victims in the Arab society in 2019 are residents of the mixed cities, although only 10% of the Arab population are living in the mixed cities. This over-representation really affects the ability to receive equal services in the mixed cities. And it means that people are living in fear in the Arab society in general, and in the mixed cities even more. So as I said before, the last local elections created a new reality in which for a while, Arab council members were a part of the coalition in all seven mixed cities. As you can see, we pointed out in the table where there are salaried deputy mayors, salaried Arab deputy mayors. The reason we did it is because in Israel, council members are not paid for their work, so they do it voluntarily, in addition to their day job. However, some of the deputy mayors are salaried. When a Jewish mayor of a mixed city appoints an Arab salaried deputy mayor, it really provides that person with more formal authorities and time to really impact the municipal agenda and the policy. And this is why it is so important. We distinguish the city by different colors according to the level of partnership. So green representing a high level of partnership between Jewish and Arab council members. Orange representing cities which are struggling for such a partnership. And in the red, Tel Aviv Jaffa, the partnership actually fell apart about 9 months ago due to a crisis over a decision of the municipality to build a hostel over a Muslim cemetery in Jaffa. In order to learn about the Jewish-Arab political partnerships, we held conversations with the council members, activists, and city workers, and we used the media publications, including social media. And we asked the council members about three main issues. One, the relations between the Jewish and Arab council members. Second, the ability to enact policy. And about the impact of the partnership on attitudes and perceptions within the city. So regarding the relations between the council members, they seem to be polite, expressing mutual respect. In some cases, there is also informal interaction beyond working hours. But on the other hand, there were also several cases of offensive, racist rhetoric directed against Arab council members. It's also used as a political strategy, aims to show the Jewish voters, I'm against Arabs. So what actually contributes to the preservation of good relations between the council members? First of all, not discussing national politics in day-to-day management. Second, focusing on their role, which is promoting municipal services. And third, most of the interaction occurs through the mayor or the council executive, which results in a lower level of interaction between the Jewish and Arab council members. And we saw that these three factors really seem to promote good relations. A salaried deputy mayor of Akko, Adham Jamal, participated in our conference last December, and he spoke about the factors necessary for good relations from his point of view. Let's watch it.
כן, זה האמת שמציג לי וכואב לי שאנחנו לא יכולים להשפיע על הפוליטיקה, אבל למה זה קורה? להיות בקואליציה זה חשוב מאוד, אבל לא בכל מחיר. יש לכל אחד עקרונות, כמו שאני מכבד את העקרונות של הצד, כאילו הרוב היהודי, הרוב היהודי חייב לכבד גם את העקרונות של המיעוט היהודי. כאילו אתה חשוב להיות בקואליציה, אבל אם אתה נמצא בקואליציה ואתה כל הזמן מרגיש שאתה נאשם, ואתה צריך להוכיח את האמון שלך למועצה ולעירייה ולראש העיר, זה לא יכול לתפקד, צריך להיות שותפות, מה שאמר מר ארקדי, אמיתית, ונרגיש כמו חברים. אם אין חברות, קשה לעבוד ביחד. עכשיו, אני מבין גם את החברים שעירה ואמיר, אין אפשרות שאני אהיה בחלק בקואליציה ואני אוותר על העקרונות שלי. למשל, בעכו, כדי לבנות מנהרה, אנחנו הפסקנו את המנהרה בגלל שחלק מהיהודים הדתיים חשבו שיש שם קבר של יהודי שלא הוכיחו את זה, והפסדנו מנהרה כאילו שקיבלנו עליה 60-80 מיליון שקל מהמדינה, ואתה רוצה שאני כערבי אקבל שתבנה פרויקט על בית תעלמין מוסלמי ביפו. אם זה יקרה בעכו, גם אני לא אסכים. אז כמו שאני רוצה לחיות איתך בכבוד, אתה חייב גם, הכבוד זה הדדי צריך להיות. וזה בא בשותפות אמיתית וחברות טובה, חברות שאתה מרגיש ששנינו בני אדם. כמו שלמשל אני מסכים שיהיה הפגנה של הימין היהודי בעכו לצורך חיזוק או תמיכה או עדות של הממשלה, אתה לא יכול לבקש ממני למנוע הפגנה שהיא רוצה להתנגד למדיניות של הממשלה, למשל במלחמה נגד, במלחמה מסוימת, אבל הכל במסגרת החוק, הכל בכבוד, כמו שזה עושה את זה במסגרת החוק, גם השני עושה את זה במסגרת החוק, בלי לפגוע ברגשות, בערכים של הצד השני. וזה קורה ששנינו מתחילים להרגיש שיש שוויון. אני צריך להיות שותף אמיתי ושווה.
So although obviously there are benefits for being a part of the coalition, Arab coalition members in the municipalities are facing some significant obstacles. First of all, they are always in an inferiority position as a national minority, thus having difficulties to voice opposition from their place as coalition members. They are also obligated to the agenda of the municipality, even when it's problematic for the Arab voters, which exposes them to criticism from the Arab voters in their city. And as I said earlier, the significant investment of time is done voluntarily, and that's also an obstacle. So what really needs to happen in order to improve this political partnership in the mixed cities? Most importantly, inclusive and equal messaging from the mayor, because then it comes down to the entire city, and the appointment of Arab salaried deputy mayor in every mixed city. This is not just a declarative step, but it also provides a real chance for Arabs to influence the municipal agenda and policy. And now I'll return it to you, Dr. Thabet Abu Ras, co-executive director of the Abraham Initiatives, to further describe how coalition partnerships can achieve their potential.
Shukran, Ruth. Honestly, you said a lot for what I would like to sum up our conversation, but I would like to take you back to the deputy mayor of Akko. Adham Jabal, he talked about respect, mutual respect. This man, he is representing the Islamic movement, and the mayor of Akko, he's from the Likud party. Amazing, Islamic movement, working with the Islamic party. Think about national politics now, okay? But we have even more extreme cases where in the mixed cities, we can find the mayor of Ma'anot Tarshiha, for example, he is from the Israel Beiteinu of Lieberman, and his deputy from Balad Party, the nationalistic radical Palestinian party. So can you imagine? Still they are working together. So I guess mutual respect is needed there. Listen, Arabs and Jews can integrate in the mixed city, but they cannot assimilate, okay? They have to respect each other. Then also we have to adopt a new discourse of shared city. Say the city and the municipality should be shared. Sense of belonging, sense of ownership is very important for the Arabs, not only for the Jews, not only for the majority, it's important for the minority. So we have all to adapt. I guess the mayor, the deputy mayor, but also the officials who are working in the city and providing equal and fair services to all the residents of the city. And Arabs so far don't feel they are in partnership, political partnership, still feel they cannot really influence, they don't have much influence they're supposed to be. So this is really why they are still thinking that they have to be in the municipality every day to serve both Jews and Arab customers, residents, and they cannot do it without having a deputy with salary, means an Arab person that welcoming people every day and serving the people in all cases. And also it's very important as a predictor of successful partnership, working together, consulting and advising to each other, and this how they can really succeed. Next, please. Well, I would like just take away. Really would like to see that the national politics, okay, of Israel, the national parties, the national politicians, learn from what successes in the local level, in the local government level. And I'm telling you, it's happening. It's happening slowly, slowly. Probably you have some questions about political partnership in the national level. It's happening, and unfortunately, there are some politicians who are trying to distort it in certain ways, but what we are witnessing right now in the campaigning, campaigning in the Arab community, that something new happening within the Arab community. There is a need for political partnership. We're gonna see it soon, if it's not in the coming government, probably the government after. Thank you, and we are welcome questions from you, and also anything you would like to comment on, we are here to answer your questions.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. We have some great questions. Before I get to the question, I'd like to ask, first of all, I'd like to say hi to Sarah, who's here with us from the Arab Initiatives. I want to say hi. And I would like to ask, what's the relationship between kind of the national legitimizing, in quotes, of the Arab participation and the local dynamic as Israelis are more exposed to this type of partnership? What's the relationship between the national conversation around this and the local conversation around this, and I guess how they feed each other? And the next thing I'd like to ask before we get to the great questions we have, you can still add your Q&A, is about these wedge issues that do come up in these partnership. One has been the aspect of the Palestinian aspect of the Arab-Israeli identity, and things around LGBTQ, the Arab side is more conservative on some of these issues. So these types of wedge issues that we start seeing in the national conversation versus the local governance.
Gili, you ask many questions. So first of all, regarding to the issue of Palestinians, Israelis, listen, I am a Palestinian, citizen of the State of Israel. Within my identity, it's a duality of identity. I'm an Israeli and I'm a Palestinian, and I see it's fine. I live in fine with that. I don't have any problem with that, okay? So what we are trying to do now is to mainstream my Palestinian identity to the Israeli public, to the Israeli politics, and I'm happy that it's more and more people within Israel, not only the left already recognize the fact that we are Palestinians, but also Israelis. But we have still problem in the right, but more and more we see the Israeli public in the media, they really adopt that. Regarding the issue of LGBT, I believe that there are several differences, ideological differences between Arab political parties. We have to acknowledge that. Yes, the issue of LGBT, it's just generated a heated debate lately. One of the reasons for the split within the joint left was over the issue of the position regarding the LGBT. Some people, the Islamic movement, think that there is no such thing called LGBT within the Arab community, but still Arab community, as I said, very diverse, and actually secular Arabs are in favor of the rights of LGBT, but still I believe for the first time we see this kind of discussion within the Arab community over social issues related to women issues, related to LGBT. I think this will continue. There is possible cooperation in the future between Zionists from the left and secular Arabs parties such as Hadash, but I don't see in this kind of issues, we're gonna see really partnership between, you know, when you think about Islamic movement, think about Shas party, ultra-Orthodox religious Jewish party. They're thinking same in many, many, actually, social issues. You ask one more question. Can you remind me?
It's about I did about the relationship of the national politics to local politics in terms of the. But we have so many questions that I'd like to get to a lot of the questions. So we have a series of questions about the violence in mixed cities and I guess not mixed cities. You know, violence is not. So what are the sources of this violence? And basically, some questions about trying to understand better. The issue that is so important to the Arab community.
Okay, so first of all, in the Arab society in general, we know that there are root causes for violence and crime. First of all, I can say that everything that has any connection with policing for many, many years, the Israeli police was not present enough in Arab towns. Which led obviously to a chaos in some of them. But on the other hand, when there was a demonstration or anything with a national sense, the police did come to such a protests and they behaved in a very aggressive, violent way. Of course, I guess some of you know October 2000, incidents in which 12 Arab citizens were killed during protests by the police. And that's a huge crisis between the Arab society and the Israeli police. But it's not only the police. There are also root causes of education, a lack of education against violence in Arab schools, and poverty and unemployment that Thabet mentioned earlier. There is also a huge problem of housing in Arab society with not enough options for Arab citizens to build, not enough land in Arab towns. And I do want to focus for a second on the mixed cities, because what happened is that in recent decades, the Israeli police really did fight the organized crime in Jewish towns. But as you know, organized crime does not disappear. It just moves to where there is less enforcement. And what happened is that the organized crime really moved to the Arab towns and specifically also to the mixed cities, especially in the center, because one of the sources for money for the organized crime is protection money. And in order to get protection, you need businesses, you need economic development. And we saw such economic development in the cities which are located at the center of Israel, such as Lod and Ramle, which are mixed cities. And in Lod specifically, there are also conflicts between families over land, again, because there is a huge housing distress in Lod. And so conflicts very, very quickly become violent. And you can see murders on this background as well.
Eli, can I take 3-4 questions quick within 1 minute? I'll just finish them. I am reading here very short questions. Yeah, Karen is asking about hand-in-hand school. Well, I had the proud to be the co-chairman of the hand-in-hand bilingual schools until 6 years ago. And there are few hand-in-hand schools in the mixed cities. They are not in every single mixed city. They have this plan to have more and more. So far they have in Jaffa, in Haifa, in Jerusalem, but the rest of them in other places around the country. Do the Arab in the mixed city speak Arabic, Hebrew? Yes, every single Arab student should know, a child should know actually Hebrew. Starting to study Hebrew in the second grade, not only the mixed cities, but all over. If the mayors are paid, yes, they are getting salary in Israel. The deputies are getting salaries. Some of them are getting salaries. Regarding a question of the right wing who moved to live in the big cities. Just following the disengagement from Gaza 15 years ago, some of the settlers really moved to live in the big cities. Have a slogan of, we would like to settle in the heart of the people. So instead of building settlements in the top of a hill, just to settle within the cities and to reclaim the city. So this discussion, to whom this city belongs to, okay? It's very important. So so far there are, for example, some tensions between some settlers and Arab community there. After all, almost one third of the residents of Lod, mixed city of Lod, are Arabs, okay? Their presence is very obvious. So there are some tensions. And I would like to say in this opportunity that the Arab-Jewish relations in every mixed city is not the same in every single place. There are places we see, for Nofa Galil, for example, in the north, or in Akko, it's better than Jaffa or Lod. And Ramle is better than Lod. But at least there is everybody, the politicians now, Arabs and Jews, are laying the foundation for better future, working together toward better or shared mixed city for Jews and Arabs.
Thank you. And there's another question on that. Is there a backlash for that partnership from other Arab parties or politicians in the local level? Is there an opposition to that type of partnership in some cases? And also there's a question about a success story that you can share and how it was achieved.
So I can say regarding the question of backlash from council members who are not a part of the opposition, or not a part of the coalition, who are from the opposition, then of course, I mean, it exists. And as we said earlier, and Adham Jamal said it very, very well, that coalition, but not in any price. I mean, in Tel Aviv Jaffa, we saw that when the municipality decided to really build a hostel on the ground of a Muslim cemetery, the Arab council members, and by the way, also several of the Jewish council members, said, we're not willing to be a part of that. And then they left the coalition and became an opposition. And of course, that people who are not a part of the coalition will, I mean, there are also internal conflicts, and they will try to show that the Arab council members who are a part of the coalition maybe are not really there for the right purposes. It's a very, like, there is no right answer here, but of course, then when you are a part of the coalition, it does provide you with a greater opportunity to really influence the city. But again, not in every price, not for every price, and only if you can see that the mayor is really willing to create a true partnership. And I think that some of that, by the way, are success stories. Like in Ramle, for example, one of the council members, the Arab council members, is responsible for the education in Ramle. Now, often what happens is that the Arab council members are only responsible for issues of the Arab population in that city. But in Ramle, this Arab council members, who also comes from the field of education, is actually responsible for education for the entire population of the city. And that can show that the Arab council members can really affect the entire city policy, and not only things that are related specifically to the Arab residents.
There's a question I wanted to know more about a joint English language education. About the groups, the grades involved, a little bit more around that. How does it work?
So the shared learning program is for high schools. And it's a very, very successful program. First of all, it really creates some like shared learning of students who are usually learning apart in separate school systems. So they meet together, they really like get on a bus and drive to the other school. Now, of course, some of it is also through Zoom, but they really get to the other school, learn English together, because English is a language in which none of the populations has a significant advantage over the other. So it's a great language for a shared learning. And this way they really get to know each other. Also, the teachers are creating connections between them, learning even teaching techniques from each other. And we can see that there is a huge success of this program.
Thank you so much. There's a group of questions, and I know in the presentation you said that one of the ways to success is not to touch on national issues, but there's a lot of issues around the relationship to Palestinians under occupation. Is this type of partnership can be a bridge? Is it a problem that is extremely divisive? How does that relate to Palestinians under occupation and the prospect of peace between Israelis and Palestinians more broadly?
Well, listen, let's put it in a very direct way. Occupation is bad. It's bad for Israel, it's bad for the Palestinians. And as long as there is occupation there, I think we cannot really normalize the life, especially of Palestinians, but also for Israelis. Listen, we are living in very tough reality. Israel is expanding its Jewishness in terms of character, in terms of land also, okay, on the expense of its democratic values. You mentioned, Gili, the nation-state law, okay? Many of the Palestinians now are talking about apartheid. It's obvious apartheid in the occupied territories, and it's creeping apartheid to Israel, okay? Well, we actually, the nation-state law is about Jewish supremacy. And really, we cannot promote equality and integration as long as not we are not equal. National issues really is a barrier for shared society. And I believe without solving the Palestinian issue, without seeing that the Palestinian people got their self-determination in their own and sovereign and independent state alongside Israel, always will be a problem of really full cooperation and full working together. But still, the reality is really strong that we have to find the ways to try to convince each other what's good for Israel, what's good for the Palestinians. And I believe, just like Partners for a Progressive Israel, that two-state solution is the right thing. It's good to see that my people, the Palestinians, live in their own state alongside Israel, and my country is making peace and compromise over the territory and living in peace and share the future, as we can talk about share the future, one homeland between the Mediterranean and the river, that people can move freely, hopefully one day. But as long as there is occupation, things really deteriorating under right-wing governments, okay? Things are going in the wrong direction.
Thank you so much, Dr. Thabet. There's another question about hand-in-hand or joint education. What do you see that produce? How is it playing out, these efforts? As the kids grow up, as they move on, do you notice the impact of that? How does that look like?
Well, still there are in Israel around 8 to 9 schools of bilingual schools. They have their own curriculum, great schools, but it's very limited in number. We are talking about a community of 1,600 kids, not more than that. And add to that, it's like a bubble. The influence is really through the communities in these schools. They are doing a great job, but still, this is a small, small numbers. Their influence is really very limited. Now, I know some Arab and Jewish families that their kids went through these schools successfully. They keep relationship when they are getting actually in higher ages, older ages, but still there are also the whole environment in Israel is really tough for those people. After all, Jewish kids are going to the army, serving Israelis army, and Arabs, they have their own way, different way. So, but I see, honestly, I didn't conduct a survey or a research, but I see many of those Jewish, especially Jewish kids who are passing through studying in those schools, they're ending up demonstrating, active in the human rights organizations and so forth.
I would just like to add something about this question. I mean, we believe that bilingual schools have to be a part of every mixed city. I mean, it's not for everyone. It's not for everyone to send their kids to learn about the different narratives, to learn about the Nakba in the Jewish society. I mean, it's really not for everyone, but we believe that in every mixed city, if we really want to make the mixed cities shared cities, then in every mixed city, there should be at least the option to really send the children to learn in a bilingual school, such as the hand-in-hand schools. To get to know really better the other society, for Jewish kids to learn Arabic that they do not learn in schools. It's not mandatory, while the Arab students will know Hebrew because they live in a mixed city and they need Hebrew, which is the language of the majority for their everyday life. So, we believe that in every mixed city, there should be such a school.
Can I answer a couple of questions regarding service, military service, mandatory?
Please, doctor, please.
The service military, it's not an obligation, Israel. You can volunteer as an Arab in the Israeli army, and there are growing numbers of Arabs really serving in the army, especially in the last year after we saw that the army is actually the front command units are serving during the COVID-19 period, coming to Arab towns and helping. For all of a sudden, some Arabs saw Israeli soldiers not killing. What we see in the news that Israeli soldiers, they know how to kill and how to fight, and that's it. All of a sudden, they are part of the efforts to combat COVID-19 in the Arab community. This was just a great idea. So we see that more and more Arabs are serving in the army, volunteering in the army, but still in very small numbers. As long as there is a conflict between our people, the Palestinians, and our state, it's going to be tough for the Arabs to serve in the Israeli army. Now, regarding the issue of presentation, if the Arab MKs really represent the Arab community. No doubt, you know, they are representing the Arab community. Just in the last election, 1 year ago, March 2020, 87% of the total votes, of the total Arab votes, went to the joint list, okay? So it's a free election. Nobody really imposed this position in the Arab community. However, there, and again, there are really most of their activities in the Knesset serving Arab and talking about civic issues, mean issues related, socioeconomic issues related to Arab citizens, state of Israel. But I think it's good that Arab MKs sometimes, and Jewish MKs should try to combat occupation and so forth, and to look to what's going on in the occupied territories, which is fine. After all, we are the Arabs looking, and sometimes to the space around us, to the Arab, to the region, the Middle East region, Arab countries, not only through Israeli eyes, we have Palestinian eyes, Arab eyes, Muslim eyes, and which is fine, okay? But still, again, Arab MKs, true representatives of Arab citizens, no doubt about it.
In picking up on that, as we're coming closer to the election, can you just walk us through what are the calculation of the Arab voters that they're facing right now, including, you know, Bibi's efforts to get a little bit of vote? Every vote counts in this election. This is going to go down to single votes, whether Bibi can survive or not. And walk us through this calculation, including the idea of not voting. I mean, the joint list in 2020 got an historical turnout. It managed to really mobilize in ways we've never seen before. But now there's a fear that this significant numbers won't show up. Just walk us through how the calculations of the voter.
Yes, no doubt. There are, first of all, around 1 million Arab voters in Israel. It's huge. Now, all of the Arab voters really cast their votes, they probably will get to 20 Arab MKs in the Knesset. They are not every single Arab, just like not single American or Israeli Jew really casts his or her vote. So 7% of the total Arab citizens are not participating in the process ideologically. They don't believe in this process at all, 7%. Yet in the last election, 65 of the Arab citizens casted their votes, went to the ballots. The turnout, 65%, just amazing, with 15 Arab MKs. This time is gonna be a drop of that. According to polls from the last week, it's gonna be around 55% only, a drop of 10%. It's a huge drop all of a sudden at once. And there is disappointment, first of all, because of the split within the joint list, disappointed from the joint list. People, instead of channel their votes to Zionist parties, they feel that it's better stay at home and not cast their vote. Yet, this election is a very important one. Still, people got tired. The fourth round of election within 2 years, it's a lot. If there is something in news happening that the Zionist parties more open to welcome Arab representatives. Merits within the top five have two Arab MPs. Labour Party in the seventh slot, there is an Arab woman. And even the Likud Party, Yesh Atid, and you name it. So this is something that returned to that there is. That I will say that Zionist Party is now really more willing to accept Arabs, talking with Arabs, campaigning within the Arab community. Can you imagine in the last 3 months, Netanyahu shuttled, okay? He was shuttling the Arab towns 15 times almost, okay? He met with dozens of Arab mayors, trying to convince them to vote for the Likud. The Likud got last election 10,000 votes from the Arab community. I believe the Likud will double the 10,000 to 20, maximum 25,000, but for sure it's not as Netanyahu is wishing. 100,000 Arab voters will vote for the Likud party. This means 3 MKs will come to the Likud from the Arab community. This is not gonna happen, no way. Arab citizens don't trust Netanyahu, don't believe to Netanyahu, but for sure, we will see in this election the joint list, the two parties now that they are in the run, okay? The Islamic movement and the joint list will not get 87% of the total Arab votes. I predict that the actually, the polls predict that they will drop to 75%. 25%, one quarter of the Arab votes will go to Zionist Jewish parties, especially in the left parties and the Likud. But we see a representative this time in the Likud and also in Israel Beteno, Druze member. So we will see still a representation of Arab MKs in the left and in the right. And one more thing that I would like just here to highlight, the fact that the Islamic movement is actually has this slogan of there is no difference between the left and the right. And it's some people really adopt this slogan, say, hey guys, we would like just to make deals with any prime minister, including Netanyahu. So we expecting some cooperation between the Islamic movement and the and the Likud party after the election. I don't imagine that the Islamic movement can nominate Netanyahu to form the government. And this is the most important thing. The Islamic movement cannot be part of the 61 MPs that really supporting Netanyahu, just because, you know what? Just because Ben Gvir, the extremist right-wing politicians that got a lot of promises from Netanyahu to be part of the government. So still Arab citizens are very politicized. They cannot forgive the Islamic movement if the Islamic movement go in this direction. The Islamic movement can make some deals with Netanyahu if he succeed to form the government. So after the election, not through the election.
Well, thank you so much for all your work. It's really incredible. Thank you for all the stuff we learned today. We really, really appreciate having you and having this conversation and supporting the incredible work of the Abra Initiative. So thank you so much for being here. And we hope to see you soon. We hope for good news at the elections later today, and thank you for the incredible.
Inshallah, in Arabic, they're saying inshallah.
Inshallah, indeed. Inshallah, indeed. So, thank you so much for this. For everybody else, please keep an eye on our email. We're playing another conversation on the joint Israeli-Palestinian memorial ceremony that's coming up. It's organized by Combatants for Peace and Parents Circle Family Forum, and Partners Progressive Israel is a proud sponsor of that. Thank you, Uth and Thabit, for and thank you, Jimmy and Ron in the Abram Initiatives for co-sponsoring this webinar. Thank you to the staff of Partners Progressive Israel, Dinesh, Ron, Julie, for all you did to making this discussion happen. And thank you for all of you for joining us for this conversation with Israel and Palestine. We hope you enjoyed this webinar. If you want to learn more about upcoming programming, please visit our website at progressiveisrael.org. And while you're there, you can make contribution. That is what enables us to bring these programs and do this work for you at no cost. Thank you so much and stay safe.
Thank you.
Thank you,
everybody.
Bye.